From Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, author of The Alchemy of Self-Healing, Janine Wiest.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Emmett Sky. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am listening to our intro music, and I was just reminded that this very day, Naked Elephant started following me on Instagram. And Naked Elephant, of course, is Josh Royce, that's the music. He's singing there, and
yeah, the track is Jolly Roger.
Jolly Roger, right? Yeah, love that track, and a big hello to you, Josh Roy. It's been a long time.
Miss you, buddy.
Today is leap year. Speaking about, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since the last leap year, 4 years to be exact. Actually, it's. but I don't know that
you astound me sometimes.
My math is pretty good. Yeah. We have never had a show on actual leap year day like today. Monday, February 29th, 2016. Today is a very special day. And not just because it's leap year, but because we're here and because you're all here and because we have two wonderful guests today, both musical and our guest. As we were getting ready for today's show, some certain things have happened today and I have been reflecting on a lot of things. I've been reflecting on how when I was little growing up, we had not only as children, not only our parents to go to. My mother worked at home and she worked a lot. She was at home and we would be able to come home to her and we would talk to her. Then my dad would come home and we wouldn't necessarily get to talk to him very much because he wasn't like a very talkative person, at least not to us, not when we were kids. Maybe he didn't know how to deal with kids, but he was there. And we had our grandmother who lived with us, which was such a blessing. And then we always had adults and elders around. And I was thinking just today how much I miss personally having elders around. Thankfully, I have a lot of people in my life who, no matter their age, they're very wise. And so if I need advice, I could always go to them. And it's a wonderful thing, a wonderful community we have. But most people, especially kids, hardly have their mom and dad around, much less grandparents. And I think it's sad. And I think that in this culture, especially last night, there were the Oscars, the 88th annual Oscars, and beauty is so much lauded as like this is the thing because they're beautiful and youth because they're young, and yet, how much are we missing when we're not connecting to the people who have been there? It's a different world than the world that our elders lived in. However, there has got to be some wisdom that can still be passed on. There could still be a feeling that one can get by talking to someone who's elder. And I think, and I love how she has stepped up in this way to say, hey, I'm an elder, amongst other things. And so amongst many other things, including her book, The Alchemy of Self-Healing, of which this is part of, we are going to speak to an elder. She actually goes beyond elder. We'll talk about that in a minute. But our guest, Janine Wiest, and this is really exciting for me to be able to say, hey, we have an elder in the room. Many times I feel like I'm the elder. Mark, you're the elder. Of course, we have Dorothy and all that. But when we have someone that has other wisdom to bring, more power to all of us. So with that, looking forward to our guest, Janine Wiest. And speaking of wisdom through music, that is going to come through our musical guest, Emmett Sky, all on the Life Changes Show right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo Voltaggio. I'm sitting here with our co-host, Mark Lejeur. Mark, elders.
Yeah, I can appreciate why you would be so excited tonight because, you know, for me, I've always had an elder in the room when you're around.
So, oh, thank you. So I mean, and I mean that.
Something new to share this evening.
Now, elder doesn't just mean older.
Well, that's what we're going to learn. It means a lot more than that. So I'm excited to hear.
Did you grow
much
up with grandma or grandpa?
I had one grandparent, and she's very dear to me. But it's interesting because I've always wanted to have, you know, always missed the connection with the other elders. And I also believe it's an interesting time now because the community doesn't encourage that and accept the elder wisdom like it did in Aboriginal or ancient Native cultures. And those were, that wisdom was carried down and honored and cherished, and you know, hopefully we're circling back to embracing that more in our society.
Yeah, it's too easy to say if we're a kid or a young adult, well, you don't understand Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, or you don't understand computers, and so what do you have to offer? But the matters of the heart, matters of consciousness, matters of certain matters of life, certain matters of relationships, I think those are universal, and I don't think they change that drastically just because we have computers. People are still breaking up.
You can only learn them through experience.
Yeah.
By playing the game and therefore in essence living the game.
Yeah. So simple words like, you know, you'll get over this, or time does heal that, or you know, or I had 14 breakups and then I met, you know, or something.
Sure.
Just but we don't have a lot of that. But we do here in the studio tonight, we have author, healer, holistic coach, and cranial sacral therapist and elder Janine Weiss. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Now, you were taking, when I was going to tell you that I was going to talk about elder, you were taking it one step further. So take us through the steps that you were talking about as women mature.
Well, when you think of a circle of life and you think of women and archetypes, I think there's a lot we can learn from the past. There's that old saying that those who don't learn from the past are condemned to repeat it.
Mm.
And not to get political, but we could go there if we felt like it, right?
Mm, interesting,
but in terms
right.
of women, you start out as the maiden, the young maiden, and then you're the wife. And maybe you're the adventurer, maybe you're the warrior. Mm. And I think that's where a lot of women get stuck. They just stay in warrior mode. Really, when they're just so exhausted and they'd love to put their quiver of arrows down or their broadsword down, they just keep going, keep forcing because it's what they've been taught to do.
Mm.
Then after that, you get to the older archetype of the crone. And that's, I think, what I mentioned to you earlier,
right.
The idea that the elder, as a woman, becomes a crone, and it means she has the wisdom. Everything gets stripped away from her on the outside, so her inside really flowers and comes forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a kind of beauty in itself that is sometimes given short shrift in our modern world. So I recommend to women, and the work that I do with women is all about having a nature-based relationship with your own body, figuring out what it is you love about yourself that's eternal, that's not, we all are, we're young and beautiful once. Well, right? Well, you're still young and beautiful.
Well, thank you. I thought, is she talking to me? I mean, we're talking about women here. I have long hair, but I don't. Well, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, okay, well, could she have come to this wisdom many years ago? And you might have known this if somebody had told you this, but you wouldn't have the same conviction, I think, in the way you're sharing it.
I think it's true. Absolutely. When I was started out as a dancer, I had my 8x10 headshot and I worried about how long my legs were next to the girl next to me. And did I have the perfect extension and blah, blah, blah. And was my leotard cute enough and all that stuff. I think now I watch dance and I look more from what's coming from that person's heart.
Mm.
What's their soul story? What's their soul dance?
Mm.
Mm. So it's a different way of looking.
I have to say, you weren't just a dancer. You also danced on Broadway in a couple of musicals. So you were in the top of that field.
Well, it's a hard, hard life, I must say. So you learn to navigate that road and try to keep your self-esteem going when really you get told no much more often than you get told yes.
Mm. What would you say to a young ballet dancer walked in the room here right now, what would you say to her from your place of understanding?
I'd say, take off your toe shoes and move like an octopus.
Ah.
Well, because moving like an octopus is a natural way to move, right? Mm-hmm. And just think how many different ways an octopus can go at any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's powerful, right?
Okay.
They don't just go linear, forward, backward, side to side. They can go at any old angle they feel like. They can move in ellipses and circles and all kinds of natural ways to move.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the end, that's way more powerful than battering your feet to fit a certain form that was created hundreds and hundreds of years ago that's really not alive. And this is someone, I loved ballet. And
you danced ballet, not just Broadway.
I did, and there's something to be said for how can I say it? Learning that kind of strict discipline.
Mm-hmm.
But then I like to see people lose that beautiful, airy sense of themselves and get down into the ground, get down into the earthy part of themselves, which is the eternal part.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, and she, the hypothetical ballerina might say, you know, they aren't hiring a lot of octopuses on the ballet stage or on Broadway right now.
Did you see Whoopi Goldberg last night at the Oscars? She had this beautiful golden diamond-encrusted octopus on her ring on her hand, and it made quite a statement. So somebody's thinking about them.
Okay, well, maybe she got that from you. Actually, I know a lot of people get a lot of things from you. Lily Tomlin, who was, I think she was there last night. I saw her in a movie recently, just the night before. She said about your book, which we'll talk more about in a little bit, Janine Wiest's The Alchemy of Self-Healing will gently help you understand the value of creative noticing to all aspects of life, both Jane Wagner and Lily Tomlin. Said that about your book. So before we go into your book, when we come back, we're going to talk about something else that you did. Talk about being at the top of your field. We're talking about the Oscars last night, but you were nominated for an Emmy. So when we come back, we'll find out what that Emmy nomination was for. And then who told him all this stuff? Well, but inquisitive minds want to know. And a little later on, music by Emmett Skye. And can't wait for all of that here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a Galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere and our guest, Janine Wiest. We have been talking to her about ballet and Broadway, and and who would have known? And as a matter of fact, who would have known that she was nominated for an Emmy? Janine, tell us what that was for.
Well, I became a costume designer because I loved doing the research. And this was a period piece called The Conquest of America. It was a four-part series done by Lone Wolf. And so we worked on the Northwest and the Southwest and all of the various countries that came to the indigenous people in America and basically co-opted their way of life. And pretty fascinating to learn about someone through what they wear. And even though I've been talking about inside-out work and how important, much more important that is, in the olden days, it was really easy to tell people stature by what they wore, what they had, what they didn't have. And I thought it was fascinating to do that kind of research. For example, Coronado came to America and he had three sets of armor with him in the desert. Okay, the Southwest desert. So what does that tell you about somebody? Somebody tells you a lot. What kind of ego does a man have when he insists that his people carry his three separate sets of armor with him, even though he's in the Southwestern desert? So you can learn a lot about people that way. And I thought that was so
interesting.
I really did. Yeah.
Wow. And so you were nominated for an Emmy for that. Congratulations. Now, of course, you're on our show as an author, a healer, a holistic coach, etc. And All of that experience that you have had from ballet and costuming and everything else, do you consider it being a part of who you are now, and would you be the same without it?
Absolutely would not be the same if it had been different. And I think there's that old Irish saying, what's for you won't go by you. And I think it's a beautiful saying when you think about being in the flow and just allowing and letting things happen the way they're meant to. As a craniosacral therapist, I talk about the direction of ease and how you can get a lot further if you go in the direction of ease rather than fighting and forcing, what I was talking about earlier with the warrior woman and how she is going to make something happen and loses quite a bit in the result.
Wow. Yes. You said also something before the show about being in the flow. So you went from dancing to costuming, and you were always at the top of your game in each of those things. And you were saying that that was your being in the flow.
Yeah. And I think you get to a certain point where the answers are that you ask better questions. Okay. Ah. That's the answer. The answer is just, there is no answer. There's just a better question to ask. So when, you know, a dancer's life is short anyway. So you're always thinking, what am I going to do next? Mm-hmm. I never imagined I would make clothing out of vintage scarves and sell them to high-end stores necessarily. But that's what happened. And I went with it and it turned out to be wonderful. But there was a plateau you reach where you think, is this what my soul really is meant to do? And the answer, until I started owning my healing gifts, the answer was no, there's something else.
You were saying something about being at the Emmys, actually, and asking that question.
Yeah.
Like you were at the top of that, and then you asked yourself that question.
Yeah, I walked a red carpet. Do I really want to try to walk a red carpet again? It didn't make sense to me. And win or lose, I felt like I had gotten what I needed to get out of that experience.
Wow. So you've written a book, The Alchemy of Self-Healing, a revolutionary 30-day plan to change how you relate to your body and health. Are you also talking about your consciousness or just your physical body and your physical health?
Well, I think that we have old stories that are trapped in our body.
Oh, yeah.
And they're usually familiar stories, and they're usually, newsflash, not ours, right?
Oh,
they usually
what do you mean
are,
they're not ours?
Well, there are parents or a teacher. Usually somebody before the age of 10 told you something that you took in as absolute truth. And it may still be operating even though you're older. That's why people have those knee-jerk responses where they go back to their family for Thanksgiving and turn into five-year-olds.
Right.
Right? Because they're surrounded by that energy of that old story of, I'm the troublemaker. So they become the troublemaker again, even if they're a banker or, you know, someone who in any other part of their life is not a troublemaker.
And then they leave Thanksgiving and they say, why did I do that? Why do I let him get me that way? Or why did she do that to me?
Exactly. Mm. And there's a reason. Actually, there's a fatal flaw in your brain that explains it, which I go into in the book. And actually in the class that I'm doing, I do an online class now for people who want a little bit more hand-holding in terms of what does she mean with all these exercises she's giving us. So the fatal flaw is that part of your brain believes you will die if you feel a certain way. It doesn't know the difference. It's the primitive part of your brain. It has to do with survival, and it believes that if you feel a feeling that nobody wants to feel, like loneliness or jealousy, those are like two biggies, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you might actually physically die. Doesn't know the difference.
Wow.
Between feeling loneliness and getting hit by a truck.
So there's a part of our brain that thinks that if we feel lonely, that we might be dying.
So it better protect you.
And what does it do to protect us?
Well, there's the, so if you think about
it. I have a feeling
it,
it's not a good thing.
Yeah, it's the thing. It's the part where you leave Thanksgiving. It's the part where you ruin a relationship because of some old story that's trapped in your body, that's lodged in your body as energy that's not serving you. So, for example, the mid part of your brain is, we'll say it's your limbic system, it's your emotions. All that that part of your brain wants you to do is feel everything, feel without any kind of end at all. Just feel. And so those two are at war, right? The primitive part says, don't feel because you might die.
Mm-hmm.
The midbrain says, feel. And who comes in? Your neocortex comes in, your smart brain, and says, it's funny because it goes in cahoots with your primitive brain and squishes in a way that midbrain. So it squishes your emotions right out of you. It doesn't, it knows full well that you're not going to die if you feel the feeling. It just doesn't have any use for feelings. So for completely different reasons, it goes in cahoots with that primitive part of your brain. And that is why you get a wicked headache. That explains a lot of headaches, for sure.
Well, a wicked headache would be the least of the problems, I think. Does this tie into something you were saying? I don't remember if it was during the break or not, but about children or people cutting themselves?
Oh, I have
like
a,
physically cutting themselves?
Yeah, there are young people these days are, there's this fad of cutting yourself in order to feel something.
Mm-hmm.
Or in order to preempt someone else hurting them. If I cut myself first, then you can't hurt me because look what I've already done to myself.
I've already hurt myself, kind of thing.
Yeah, and so that's when you talk about wisdom of the elders and what they can share, you can share how to come back to center, how to come back to your inner wisdom and how to own that so that you can't be knocked off center, or if you're knocked off center, you get back to center really quickly.
You know, Janine, I've often wondered if sometimes children or young adults, especially who put a lot of tattoos in places that are obvious, like face, you know, obviously able to be seen, it feels like a little bit of self-mutilation, maybe not all of them, but and the earrings on all over the face or whatever, if maybe they're saying, I feel weird, and before you call me weird, I'm going to make it obvious that I know I am, or something.
I'm going to be so much weirder.
Yes.
That you won't even know what to say.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's,
you know, it really goes to that extreme. Because look how extreme some kids look.
And if I put on a costume, I don't have to be me, right?
Right, exactly.
Costume being whatever the
exactly, and that's why sometimes when people say, "Gee, you know, you are a costume designer and you do healing work now, how does that make sense?" Well, what you just said is perfect. It totally dovetails with the costumes that we keep in our closet that we put on for, you know, when you go home to your parents, you look a certain way. Certain things. And wouldn't it be lovely if you just opened your closet and it was just you, unvarnished you, and you felt comfortable that whatever you picked was going to be authentically who you are?
Well,
you know, this is such a powerful question, especially because a lot of costuming has been driven by, you know, corporate world and style and fashion and then the magazines and such. you know, we define a costume as being something radical and outlandish, but yet, you know, I wore a costume working on Wall Street for years.
Absolutely.
A certain type of costume.
Certain kind of tie.
Certain type of braces
be.
And a certain type of tie and a certain type of shoes. Costume can be anything that makes you fit within that, either a box or outside of your own box, right?
Right. So that's so true. And that's an opportunity to find. I mean, how lovely to spend your youth finding what's truly you rather than shopping at the same store as the girls next door or the boys next door so that you look exactly the same. I mean, there's something to be said when you're young to wanting to fit in, but you ought to know where there's a limit and where your individuality can come forward and shine.
Where you ends and the influence of others begins, kind of thing.
Which is so important later in life, and not that much later either, to know what's yours and what someone else's, so that you're not just following the pack, so to speak.
Wow. You know, Janine, you've inspired me. Thank you very much. When I get home, I promise you that I'm going to go into my closet, and I am going to throw away those three suits of armor that I have in my closet.
Okay, wonderful.
God,
and
I'm
if there's any, like, ballet
out.
Shoes, throw them out,
oh, she's
too.
Beating me at my game. She seems unassuming, but look, she's... Don't let that fool you.
It takes a bit of...
I'm paying attention.
Time
You're paying
to
attention.
Build an elder's wisdom.
You sure are. Well, when we come back, I understand that this book and your online course, the book, actually, people could get by going to Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble, for that matter. You could learn more about Janine's work at cranialalchemy.com. I'm going to spell that for everybody because it's kind of it's cranial, is C-R-A-N-I-A-L, alchemy, A-L-C-H-E-M-Y.com. And then also at Inner Wisdom Recovery, which is a little bit about what you've been hearing about Janine sharing with us, innerwisdomrecovery.com. The book is called The Alchemy of Self-Healing. And when we come back, Janine is going to tell us a little bit more about the book and the a 30-day plan that's within it. Like, we might get an exercise that she might give us. And then there's an online course as well. All when we come back here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and I should mention that in the studio with us is Bobby Parier, and he is a friend who introduced us to Janine. So thank you for being a friend. Thank you, Bobby. And Janine is here, and of course, a little later on, we're going to have some music by, we're not so far along yet, in just a little bit, we're going to have some music by Emmett Sky. So, Janine, we've been talking about the alchemy of self-healing and a lot of other things that have led up to it. People will just have to buy the book to learn more about it. But is there an exercise you could give us that we could take home and do tonight, other than getting rid of the ballet slippers in our closet and our armor?
Right, that's a given.
Which is an interesting, like, that's our bookends right there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, Lily Tomlin said that you learn about creative noticing from the book. And I always say that noticing is healing and creative noticing is transformational. So if you're shooting for the transformational and there's something in your life that you'd like to change or shift that you think you can't, I'm here to tell you, you probably can. And the one first thing to do is to get in touch with what's going on with your body at any given time. So some of us leave our body when something wonderful or something horrible happens, doesn't matter. Something exciting happens and you leave your body. One way to stay in your body or be with it is to be, or be with the pain if there's a pain, is to stop for a moment when you feel uncomfortable or feel something unusual and ask yourself, what is it that I'm feeling and where am I feeling it in my body? And I'll tell you, I'll give you a hint. It's usually either your chest, just under your clavicle, or your belly. And so I have an exercise in the book called The Belly and the Heart. And I invite people to just practice just taking one of your hands and placing it lightly on either of those two areas. First thought, best thought, just do that. Like a leaf on water. Okay, so you're feeling a leaf on water. You're not going, oh, I ate too much, or oh, I'm hungry, or what's going on with my spleen? You're just lightly as you can, connecting with your body and yet going in the direction of ease with it and befriending it. And by just taking the time to do that simple, simple thing, your body will thank you and you'll start to feel calmer and a shift will take place. I promise.
Wow. It sounds like being present, being aware, being getting in touch with, are these words that are resonating with
absolutely, the exercise? Absolutely, absolutely. Having a nature-based relationship with your body, you're saying, you know, like, for example, if you have a stomach pain, you might think, oh, I have to take a pill or I better take some kind of something to make it go away. Mm-hmm. Instead, you befriend your body by saying, I'm here for you. We never do that. We hardly ever befriend our body in a nurturing way and say, what's going on with you? Because let's face it, it's your body. People say, oh, my damn stomach is acting up again. Mm-hmm. Well, it's your only stomach. You've got one.
Interesting.
Befriended. Yeah. Right? And it sounds, when you hear it, it sounds really simple. But we don't do that on a, do you do that on a regular basis?
I do not. Not with my stomach. No.
I mean, you have to learn. It's a process, and it takes about 30 days to start a new habit to get it really imprinted.
Wow.
So.
But this goes hand in hand, pun intended, with with the being the change idea. You're taking it to a physical level, right? Owning the change inside, the you are the power in your world. That we, you know, we think of these things from a heady space.
Yeah.
But yet, you know, comforting in a being self-present, self-aware, recognizing our physical being is all part of that, the same discussion, right?
Yeah, so I would say cellularly, you do know it all.
You two are so connected. I don't know what it is about you two, but there's something going on. Earlier with the costume thing, you didn't know about the costume thing, and you said, it's like, wearing a costume. Like, she's a costumer. It's
just I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I know you didn't know. There's
anyway, alchemy.
Alchemy. There's Yay. Alchemy happening right here. Probably happens all the time, and some of us just don't tune into it. So now tell us real quickly, you have an online course. So there's the book. And then the online course, is it based on what's in the book?
It's based on the book, and it takes it a little further. Right now, it's happening with only about 10 to 12 women. And I think I mentioned on the break that we've got someone from Germany, people from New York, Florida, L.A., Ohio.
Wow.
And basically, it's a restorative class that's super crazy reasonable, and it comes with a private phone session with me. And the idea is to find your inner wisdom, reconnect with it, reboot it, shine it up, polish it up, and own it.
Okay. Already.
How about that?
And they can learn more about that at innerwisdomrecovery.com?
Innerwisdomrecovery.com. I think women these days, we started talking out, so it's a perfect thing to end with. Women think they have to be something they're not, and they're not quite sure what they really want to be. Or they don't think there's time for them to ever be who they want to be or who they were meant to be with their soul's journey. So this is an opportunity in 5 weeks to recover that, reinstall it, and have some fun.
Well, this has been fun. Has it been fun for you?
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't know what to expect.
Well, now you know, and we're so happy that you were here today to share your inner wisdom with us. And all of our audience. Thank you, Janine.
Thank you, Filippo.
What a pleasure. What a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. Well, with that, we are going to take a quick break. And our musical guest, Emmett Skye, will be joining us here in the studio right after this on the Life Changers Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and of course, sitting here with Mark Leger, our guest Janine Weiss is still with us. And joining us in the studio is Emmett Skye, our musical guest. He is a singer and a songwriter, and so good to have you here. Welcome, Emmett.
Happy to be here.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Hello, hello.
Yeah. That's my Barry White's voice.
No, you have your own voice, man.
Thank you.
And you use it well, and we can't wait to hear you use it here on the show for us. Let's start with your name.
Yes.
Emmett.
Yeah, Emmett. I mean, you could say it. I mean, the American way is Emmett.
Okay. It actually means what?
It means truth.
In
Hebrew.
Hebrew.
It means truth.
Now, looking at you, you don't strike me as, right off the bat, as a Jewish man.
No.
So.
I am an African-American.
You are an African-American from?
Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Yes.
And so when your parents named you Emmett, did were they thinking that?
My dad name is Emmett.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm the second.
Wow.
Yes.
The second truth. The second truth.
The second truth. Yeah.
Wow. And when did you discover this about your name?
You know, it's interesting. I never knew my name meant truth until I moved to LA. And I was sitting at the Kodak Theater and in this kind of bench area, I was sitting down and I was sitting next to this Israeli rabbi. It was an older guy. He was a doctor and he was with his wife and, at the time, I didn't know if he was a doctor, but as we started talking, he was like, "Where are you from?" He told me where he was from. He was a doctor. And he said, "You know what your name means?" And I said, "No." He said, "Your name means truth. Emmett."
Wow, that's
powerful. Means truth. Meaning real.
See, now, that came from an elder, right?
Yeah, it came from an elder. Now, I mean, he had a very, you know, wise presence. And I mean, instantly he had my attention just the way he looked at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I received that, but it was brand new for me. So I kind of took it away and did my own discovery. And I later on discovered, ran into another Jewish rabbi. And he said, "Do you know what your name is?" I said, "Yeah, I just heard it. Yeah, it means truth." He said, "Yeah, it means truth." So I meet all these Jewish people. And they would tell me my name it was truth. And I said, "Oh, wow. So interesting." So
well,
you were supposed to get that message too.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a reason.
Absolutely.
There.
Yes. And no coincidence, because to the world, you offer to share, evolve, and develop in truth. What your hope is to inspire, please.
Yeah, to inspire and to give and receive love. You know, I grew up in a home where there was a very loving family. Both of my parents are still together. And growing up with a twin sister, everybody wanted to hold us. You know, everybody wanted to juggle the twins. Like, let me have the twins. But it was beautiful growing up in my home. My parents instilled a lot of love inside of me. But along my journey, I began to discover things about myself outside of my family.
Mm.
And helped me develop and grow as a man through my own personal experiences.
Now, I know you grew up in a very musical family and everybody was singing and all that, but when did you decide that your music needed to be out there in a special way?
You know, for years I always had this kind of weird feeling. I would be singing in the car by myself, or I'd be in the shower. You know, we've all been in the shower singing, right?
Well, you've been singing since you were three, so I don't know about all of us doing this.
Yeah. I mean, everybody sings. You know, I'm sure you sing in the car, right?
I know, I actually sing. I'm a singer, but
oh, you're a singer. Yeah. But I'm saying, yes. I'm sure
I'm
we
all with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Mark's a singer too. He doesn't count.
Okay.
And Janine's done everything.
Janine,
I'm sure
you sing. Do you sing?
I sing in the shower.
Okay. All right.
That's
there you
what
go.
I'm saying. Exactly.
Thank you, Janine.
But I believe it was that I can't really remember the actual moment, but there were many times. Well, I would feel that calling. I would feel like I was called to, I had something very special, but I really didn't know how to explain it.
Mm.
I didn't know how to, you know, I just didn't understand it. Mm. I really didn't understand it. I just knew I could sing, but everyone in my family knew how to sing. So, okay. And it began to develop as I started taking this journey along.
You know? The more showers you took.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You got to take like 3 or 4 showers a day. It's hot in Louisiana. It's very humid there, so you have to like have a schedule. You know, morning, afternoon. You know,
I got to rehearse.
Exactly.
What was it that happened to your father that changed certain things for you?
Well, I moved. To, I'm, I let me take you back. So I was working on my music and developing my craft and like honing my skills just in my living room, in my bedroom, just writing songs, not thinking the world would hear them or anyone would hear them. I was just writing and teaching myself guitar. And I decided to move to L.A. And I moved to L.A. in 2009. And again, I've been on this journey, on this kind of like spiritual journey. I've been on this kind of search as a man, expanding my territory, expanding my horizon. And in between that 2 years, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And so I had to stop everything I was pursuing in L.A. and go back to Louisiana to be with my family. And not knowing at the time, like, you know, really, like, you know, at that moment in time, I'm like, I don't want to go back home. But I knew I had to go back, not knowing, you know, the whole big picture. And I went back home and to be with my my father and be with my mother and just be a big, you know, be a support. But simultaneously, it was doing something to me. It was teaching me something. And but my dad, fortunately, he beat the cancer. And so that was a learning lesson as well.
Well, you've already taken us on a couple journeys through your stories. Thank you. And I know you're about to take us on to yet another one. Tell us, what are you going to sing for us today?
Well, it's a good segue into the song. When I was going back home, I wrote the song called On My Way Home. And I'll tell you this quick story. I was I just did this installment for the Grammy headquarters, and I played in front of the whole Grammy staff, and I got the news that my dad was sick, so I had to leave. So it was on this like kind of height of success in the sense in my mind, like I'm playing in front of the Grammy staff, this is about to go down, and I had to go back home. So all of that energy. You know, feeling like I'm reaching a mark. You know, I'm here. I had to go back, but this girl that came to the show was a friend from Kenya, who actually really wasn't a friend. She was just someone that I met at a church, and she gave me an envelope, and in the envelope it was $500 bills to go home. And I was broke. I didn't have any money. And I went home. And I wrote this song called On My Way Home.
Amazing. Well, here's Emmett Skye singing On My Way Home live here at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show.
Remember Mama used to pray, and Papa used to say, hold on to your faith, close to your heart, and know the laughter all around. When my twin used to smile, and the love that surrounded our home. On my way home, on my way home, and the day is come. I see the rainbow light and can't wait to get on the other side. And I'm traveling all the way on my way home. I drank the bitter and the sweet from the penthouse to the street. Many days I felt like I would not survive. Oh, and the strength from yesterday reminded me to always pray. And the smiles and laughs of the past would cheer me on my way home, on my way home. And oh, the day is come. I see the rainbow light and can't wait to get on the other side. and I'm traveling all the way on my way home. Oh, and oh, I dreamed that I would see the sunshine, knowing that it'll brighten up the day. Oh, and on the journey I traveled so long, so long, but soon I will see my loving family. On my way home. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been a long time. You will be my love, oh, and I'm coming home, on my way home, on my way home. And oh, the day, hey, the day has come. I see the rainbow light and can't wait to get on the other side. And I'm traveling all the way on my way home. Oh, and I'm traveling all the way. And I'm traveling all the way. Oh, and I'm traveling all the way. On my way home.
Hmm. Ain't that the truth?
Wow. Wow.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Emmett Sky. EmmettSky.com. I'm going to spell that for everybody. EmmettSky.com. That's where they can get this song and many others, right? You're also on YouTube. You're all over the place.
Yes, soon.
Yeah, speaking of all over the place, when I was listening to your story about, you know, being at this was it the Grammy thing, and then having to go home, it's like, wow, I'm about to touch sky here,
right?
No pun intended, but it's like, and I have to go home, I can't believe this, right in the middle of stuff, but you know, you're still, you came back and you right you jumped right in, you performed with Beyonce more than a couple times, actually the Grammys, and also for a Stevie Wonder tribute show. You performed with Josh Groban. I mean, the list goes on, and we don't have time to talk about it now because I want to make sure we get your second song in. But kind of like we were talking about Janine, you do this. You're doing many other things. You're doing clothes. You got your own clothing line.
Yes.
And you got your own jewelry line.
Yes.
So I definitely want people to go to Emmett Sky. E M M E T T.
The sky is the limit.
Yeah. Right.
The sky.
And no limit at that. E M M E T T S K Y Y .com.
I want to say this too. I was going to say, what was so empowering. In that journey, it taught me about, it wasn't about the fame. It wasn't about the Grammys. It wasn't about me having, you know, being in the front. It wasn't about that. It was about really discovering who I am and my sole purpose on earth and why I am here to give and to receive love. And that became such a paramount, profound thing for me. And it was like a ton of bricks. You know how you just get a revelation and just like hit you like, oh my God, this is what I need to do.
Mm.
And I realized it was beyond music. It's beyond music. So I want to use all of my platforms and all of my gifts to send that vibration out.
Well, I'm hearing another platform, and that is storytelling.
Absolutely,
you got some stories to tell there. So. Speaking of stories, what's the story on the next one?
The next song was actually the first song I wrote ever on guitar. And I wrote the song, quickly I'll give you the story. I had a vision of a dark place. And I was at that point in time in my life, I was in a very dark place. And I can see through all of that darkness, there was a light strip at the end of the tunnel. And that gave me hope to keep going.
Wow.
So this song is called Dreamer, and it's about even though you may feel like you're in a dark place, you may feel like you, you know, there's no hope. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel.
Man, I am so glad you are on our show today. You know,
this I'm happy to be here.
Leap year, man. This is yes. February 29th.
Yeah.
You were meant to be here, and we're so glad.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is a pleasure. This is called Dreamer. Here's Emmett Skye live at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes Show.
The broken heart of one falls down the unforgiving stream of life. Her dreams fade away like red rose petals disintegrate. Oh, now my heart is numb and can't see the light. Trials may come from the enemy, and though you lie, he'll try to stop the possibility. So don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. Oh, oh, oh yeah. And I still believe all of my dreams and all of my dreams. So shine your light at the end of the road, so that I could see, so that I could be a dreamer again. The ocean, I hear the voices of the cries of his left behind. For I know the plans I have for you, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you. He loves you. It's true. Yes, it's true. And I still believe in all of my dreams and all of my dreams. So shine your light at the end of the road. Shine.
See, told you there was a story. Whoa. Listen to that. That's a story and a half. Thank you so much, Emmett.
Thank you.
Emmett Skye, EmmettSkye.com.
And a quick shout out to Sue Stodden and some of the Berkeley Hall friends for sending you our way. What a gift.
Love you, Sue.
Yes.
She's amazing.
Indeed. Thank you. Thank you. Well, with that, that brings a beautiful close to our show. What a beautiful leap year February 29th.
Yes, yes. Give and receive love.
Exactly, exactly.
And walking your truth, walking your truth.
Indeed, and we feel it. Thank you, Emmett Sky, and thank you, Janine Wiest. I'm glad. Thank you. And on behalf of our executive producer Dorothy Donahue, and on behalf of our engineer Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo, and our program manager at BBS Radio, Doug Newsom, and our producer Mark Legere, I am Filippo Voltaggio saying, as your life changes, as ours definitely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.